You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right, you guys, welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin, and this is episode 97. We are in May. It's May 6th. 2020, just giving a date for reference in case anybody is going through these in the future, which is interesting. I wonder how puzzling it'll be to listen to something that was recorded during quarantine, during pandemic, in the future once people have more information, because we don't know shit about shit, and hindsight is 2020. But I just imagine having to kind of piece together. It's like, what's going on? They think all the tests are bullshit. Oh, all the tests were bullshit at the time, or questionable. I'm getting people who are who tested positive, who had COVID-19 in March, got sick, then they're taking an antibodies test now and coming up negative, which has got to be encouraging, you know, because we're all sitting there going, oh, we need more testing. Well, I think we need better testing and then more testing. Let's get accurate testing and then more. But enough about... We'll go into dread, that sense of panic. We'll go into that later. But the thing is, the weird thing was, so last week I changed up the music. If you might remember, I changed up the music at the beginning, intro, outro music to Screaming Trees. And I shit you not, I did that last Wednesday, right? I uploaded the episode while just fucking around and browsing. I discover that Mark Lanegan, who's the lead singer of the Screaming Trees, released just like 2 days prior or the day before, released his memoir. And what is the name of the fucking memoir? I am not prepared, but he just released his memoir. And it's on Audible, so he's reading his memoir on Audible, and I bought it. It was just this weird kind of that, one of those moments, you're like, holy shit, no kidding. It's, the name of the memoir is called Sing Backwards and Weep. And Mark Lanegan, that's Lanegan, it's L-A-N-E-G-A-N. And if you're not familiar with his solo work, which is so fucking good, there's a Screaming Trees. If you're not familiar with them, Mark Lanegan was a member of Queens of the Stone Age during that peak of Queens of the Stone Age. You know, he sang on a couple of the songs. You know, he played with them live and sang on a couple of the songs off of the Songs for the Deaf album. So if there's a couple of songs in there that you're like, this doesn't sound like Josh Homme, well, that was Mark Lanegan. But it's the memoir is fucking great. It's because he was really good friends with Cobain. You know, it was a very interesting dynamic between them because they tried to collaborate, but nobody would take charge. So it just didn't work out because they respected each other too much because they were like huge fans of each other. You know, and he was really good friends with Layne Staley of Alice in Chains. Lanegan was a, you know, fucking out of control alcoholic and then became a heroin addict. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if you've ever been a heroin addict and then listened to a memoir of a heroin addict, but you're just kind of working and listening to, you know, the audio book and just listening to Lanegan talk about shit. Talk about like some of the aspects of being addicted to heroin. And I'm like, oh, I hate it when that happens. And meaning it, it's just a real like, ooh, yeah, no, that'll get you. Mm-mm. Not good, Mark. So that's been fun. But I don't know. Thought that was kind of cool. I don't know if you're the greatest thing that's happening during the lockdown, during the quarantine. I know it's been lifted in several places, kind of lifted. But the greatest thing that's been happening that you've probably heard people talk about, which is the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance. Holy shit, you guys. You've got to figure out a way to get it. Or maybe, you know, I think Netflix is partnered with them. So I think after it's all said and done, like the completed 10-part documentary will then just pop up on Netflix. So I'm sure it'll be trending when that happens, because that's what all you fuckers do. If it's on Netflix, all of a sudden it's all over. Everybody's talking about the goddamn Tiger King, and it's like, oh man, this is crazy. But then a far superior documentary comes on about the greatest basketball player, you know, of all time, and you're like, how is this gonna 10 episodes? It's not enough. It's thorough and it's fucking beautiful and it's amazing, and it's like I can't wait till Sunday. It's, you know, and I know there are people that are like, I'm not into sports ball, and anybody who uses the term sports ball can eat my dick. You know sports just cause you don't like it. Just come on. You know, I don't make fun of you and your dumb stories. You let me have my dumb thing. But it's great. If you haven't watched it, there's still 4 episodes to go, and it's just, oh, it's been a nice distraction. Here's another thing, another nice distraction. We're just gonna tell you what, we're just gonna spend 10 minutes promoting things that are not this podcast. Huh, why have I never been successful? I don't know. My marketing is for shit. I'm really good at promoting someone else. There is, if you are looking to just completely distract yourself, there's plenty of things. But go to, and obviously if you're listening to this, you understand how to listen to podcasts. I'm guessing, unless somehow this is a YouTube video that you found, somehow you found this audio. I don't know how, but you know how podcasts work. Go back into the archives of Conan O'Brien's podcast and listen to his guest when he has Bill Hader, John Mulaney. You probably have heard these if you listen to comedy podcasts, but Bill Hader, John Mulaney, Martin Short, and especially Bob Newhart. If you only have a time to listen to one or two, then go Bill Hader, then Bob Newhart, then John Mulaney, then Martin Short. They're so goddamn funny, those particular 4 episodes. It just, like getting, it was like an ab workout. It was hard to work. I'm re-listening to them. And it's a hell of a distraction. Like, if you're kind of freaked out about stuff, take a break on the goddamn news for a day or for a couple hours. Listen to those. It's just a hell of a distraction. All right, that's it. That's all the promoting I'm doing for other people. I'm done. I swear. Do you realize that, okay, I've been alive for 46 years, 46 and a half, sure, 46 and a half. And for 46 of those 46 and a half years, the only people that wore bandanas on their faces were gang members and robbers in old Western movies. That's the thing that's really, if you really think about it, it's socially acceptable and encouraged. If you don't have your, you know, store-bought or handmade mask, that you can wear a bandana on your face. it's encouraged to wear bandanas. Like, it's a strange time. I'm totally taking advantage of it because it's like, yay, I get to look semi, you know, with like sunglasses and now you're wearing a bandana. It's like this, it's a very, it's interesting how normal it's become. And that's just, it's bizarre when you really sit there and think about it, that it's like, wow, you get to wear bandanas on your faces. So, I mean, I'm not trying to spin that as that's why you should, because, you know, how much longer are we going to be able to socially accept a social acceptable behavior is to walk into a store with your face covered? Like, it's just, it's weird, man. It just, things just get weirder and weirder, and nothing really. It's that one, the aspect in our lives, the one thing on how people wear masks, when people wear masks or when they don't, just shows this wide range of either of information gathering, of, you know, how people have understood the information, or what people's opinions of that information or lack thereof. Nothing is more telling than how people are or are not wearing masks. Because you see somebody in a, like, let's say, like you're in the grocery store or you're just inside of a building, someone's not wearing a mask, and you're like, what a fucking idiot. And then on the other side of that, you see somebody wearing a mask while they're jogging outside with no one around them. And it's like, what a fucking idiot. And it's like, can you breathe? How's the airflow? Because what are you doing? Like, where's the reason? And the problem, the thought, where is it between those two? People wearing masks, but they're not covering their nose because it's claustrophobic as fuck. Totally get it. It really, especially if you're wearing glasses, so then you've got the mask and you can't breathe, and then it's fogging up, so now you can't see very well, and it just freaks you the fuck out. So I don't wear my glasses because I can't deal with that shit. Just freaking out in an HEB. I got to yell at a guy in HEB, so that was good. Guy was standing right behind me in line. And I know, you know, some people say, you know, oh, just, you know, we need to be kind to each other. Fuck that guy. Theoretically, we need to be kind to each other, but that guy knows better. Everyone knows. You know what you're doing. It's like, oh, I didn't think about it. Nah, bet you're thinking about it now. I just embarrassed you in HEB. I did. I yelled at him to get the fuck back. Because I said 6 feet. I wasn't nice about it, but it wasn't rude. And he didn't move. So then I yelled at him to get the fuck back. And I got to tell you, it felt great. He got back too, by the way. I think he figured it out. But it's just, I don't know, because that's the thing about it is that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, so-and-so's not wearing a mask. Here's my deal about that. I've always kind of been, like, questionable about things like that, because, no, we don't know. Because the idea of wearing it, even though I think it's bullshit, I'm like, this isn't going to do anything, except for it does keep spit from flying out in people's faces. Or when you sneeze, if you've ever seen the video of what happens when you sneeze and it just goes everywhere, that's the whole point, really, is protecting from that. But, like, aside from that, I get it if people are like, you know, I think it's bullshit, I'm not going to wear one. It would be enough if somebody felt that way, but then, you know, but then continued to do other safety precautions. I'm not going to wear a mask, but I'm still wearing gloves. I'm not touching my face, and I'm keeping social distancing. But that's the deal. It's they don't wear a mask, and then they don't do any of the other bullshit. And they just kind of, and then they've got that, you know, chip on their shoulder. Suddenly it's like, man, what is going on with you and your brain? That your fear, because it is, it's fucking fear. And it's making them be a dick. Because we're all kind of losing our goddamn minds. It's like being stir crazy, and just the oh man, the psychology, just all the shit that we're going through. You know, wide range. Some more than others, but we're on edge. And but luckily, people are in charge, and they know what they're doing. Here's my thing that I've said before, because I've said that I don't talk about politics because I don't find it interesting, really. And you hear about it enough. I will talk about politicians, though. I will shit on people, individuals, that I find just irritating. You know, it's just not about an agenda. It's about just... Okay, here's where I'm getting at. There's a guy in Texas. The lieutenant governor of Texas is Dan Patrick. Now, Dan Patrick is a piece of work. If you ever need to run for governor, or if you're running for where you're in charge of a state, the best thing you can do is have a lieutenant governor who is a goddamn moron. It's just a contrast. You have your second in charge, your second in command, be a complete buffoon. Just makes you look so much better. It's probably the best thing that Greg Abbott has done, is have just a complete jackass who talks way too much, because it just makes him look that less of a crook. It's crazy. Dan Patrick, you've certainly read the different stuff about him. I wanted to kind of mention about it because I saw him, you know, I don't know. He said that dumb shit that he said about how, you know, he'd rather, you know, old people die than lose freedom. Whatever he said. He said that kind of stuff that's just like, and people are like, how could he? I'll tell you how he could. Because people will talk about how the fact that that's Dan Patrick is not his real name. And here's the thing about politics that I don't like. Dan Patrick's real name, I don't care. I looked it up. It's a forgettable. His last name is Goeb, like G-O-E-B, and it's pronounced Goeb. And a lot of people will tell you that he changed his name because he was such a bad businessman and he went bankrupt. He had a chain of sports bars, and he couldn't keep, as much as people like sports and like drinking, he went bankrupt with his chain of sports bars, which he, that he had in Houston. And he blamed it on the crash of the oil, you know, the shortage, the basically the oil business going down. And that may be it. I personally believe that he went bankrupt because sports in Houston sucked major balls in the 80s. So it's like, there's not a whole lot of people rooting for the Oilers. Houston Astros in the early 80s. Whew. So I think that's my theory. But here's the thing that sucks about politics is people blamed. They tried to say, like, his opponent in one of the elections, the Democratic candidate, accused Dan Patrick, saying that he's such a bad, that he changed his name to get away from his bad business dealings, that he was so bad at business that he had to change his name. The real reason he changed his name was because Dan Patrick is a fucking radio guy. All right. And he changed his name before going bankrupt. He just made it official, you know, like, fuck it, let's just go with it. But he changed his name because Goeb sounds like shit as a radio person. So he ended up changing his name. Now, why is that important? It's important because this is who you have to know who you're dealing with. So you're gonna have the other side just make wild accusations like, well, he changed his name because he, you know, bankruptcy and he's a terrible businessman, which he is a terrible businessman, but that's not why he changed his name. He changed his name because he changed what kind of radio personality he was. And then he, you know, when he changed his name, he invented a new persona and that suddenly became a really, because he wasn't conservative at first. He became a conservative talk show host because that's good radio and that makes you more money. And that is a sensationalist. And that's what you need to know about that jackass is he's a fucking talk show host. He's a conservative talk show host like Limbaugh and all those other guys who say things just for a reaction because it's like the, you know, just to get a rise out of people and to get, you know, and sensationalizes things because that's what gets you attention. And that's who Texas's lieutenant governor is. And so that's what you need to think about, that this motherfucker will say anything to get a rise out of people and you can't trust it. Not because he's a crook or because he's shitty at business. You know, that's also who he is. But who he is he's a fucking talk show host. He's a radio talk show guy, and that's why he's a fucking idiot. Now, Greg Abbott, on the other hand, is the type of guy who becomes, you know, gets his spine crushed because he's out jogging and a tree falls on him. So he sues the homeowner and the lawn care company or the landscape, you know, tree company for that and gets $6 million. Fine. You know, because you know, he had no health insurance. He had nothing like that. So, but he sues and he wins. Then when he becomes a judge and holds public office, he sides with conservatives and changes all the legislation and puts all the roadblocks to make sure that nobody else can sue and make money the way he did. Because he's, you know, that's who he's siding with now. Now that he's established and now that he's a judge and everything else, he's going conservative. So that's how you know who he is. He's the type of guy that will side with, you know, whoever's got his back. He's morally shaky and he's a crook. And that's who Greg Abbott is. And that's what you have to look at. You can't look at somebody and go, well, he's a Republican. So obviously, no, you have to look at who a person is. So, but the thing that's been getting me about Greg is that he's been looking so good because he has a plan. He has people helping him with his plan. And his lieutenant governor is such a fucking buffoon that it makes him look like, ah, I've got my shit together. Shut up, Dan. Except that today he basically said that all of this was just because of this. Because I've been saying it's been weird because for the past, you know, because Abbott's looked like he's had his shit together. Except with the opening, he's like, no, but I've got a plan. So here's his plan, is that hairstylists, salons, and barbershops can start operating again in 2 days. All right, that's this next phase of opening back up our state here in Texas. By the way, the way you describe, I'm in Austin, though. Austin, Texas. Austin is just... I've heard Austin described as a beautiful city surrounded by Texas. I like our state, but there's a whole lot of bad with the good. But the thing is that this is what he said about... so they can open up salons and barbershops, but there's going to be... There's different stipulations, and the big stipulation he has is he goes, well, you know, but when you open up, you're only going to have one stylist per person. And I went, fuck, one stylist per person. That sucks, because when I go and get my hair cut, I need to be treated like a NASCAR pit stop. You guys, I got to have a team rush in. They got to work on the beard. They got to work on the sideburns. They got to work on the hair. I need a minimum of 4 stylists because that's how I fucking roll. one stylist per person. What does he fucking think happens in a great clips? He's like, hey, everybody, you can only have no more cutting two people's hairs with, you know, both your hands. You guys, you're going to have to focus on one person at a time. Oh, fuck. No shit. Also, when you get a haircut, you have to keep your mask on. How's that going to work? What if my mask is covering the back of my hair? Then you're only getting the top cut. Oh, okay. So my sideburns are fucked? Yep, sideburns are fucked. Okay. If that's what you think, sounds good, Greg. One stylist per person. Jesus Christ. This man is in charge. All right, here's my point about that. I went a little long on that. But it's just weird when you really look at what's going on. And the thing about it is that so here in Texas, that's who we have locally. I don't know who you have locally. Nationally, we have what we have. I don't know. I've been trying to distract myself. I've been doing a light reading of Chuck Palahniuk book. Chuck Palahniuk, the Fight Club guy and Invisible Monsters, et cetera, et cetera. I'm reading his book called Adjustment Day, which is a lighthearted read. This is the synopsis. In a near future United States, a corrupt senator plans to reinstate the draft to send young men to die in a planned nuclear attack of mutually agreed upon destruction in the Middle East to prevent an uprising of those same young men. Because what's happened is that there's a surplus of young men in the country, 18 to 20, whatever. So they're going to invent a war to have all the young men go together, and then they're going to basically have a nuclear attack, kill all of them, making there be less men, so they become more in demand, so that all the women have to then compete for the there's less men, so then they can stop with their feminist bullshit. So that's this corrupt senator's plan. While all that's going on, there's a mysterious actor Talbot Reynolds circulates a small blue and black book throughout the country full of his own manifesto and wisdom on how life should be lived. And then there's a website called The List allowing users to submit and vote on public figures they think deserve to be killed. And that's the whole idea, is this list. Everyone who kills a person on this list and cuts off their left ear, each ear counts as a number of votes, and then the person who has the most ears off this list gets the most votes. They get to run different parts of the country. So that's what I'm reading, and it's nice. It's a nice little fantasy world where the world makes more sense than it does now. I don't know. I started the book and I was reading into it going, holy shit, this book is fucking nuts. But it's a good distraction. And thankfully, fiction. But my point is this. I think that we have to... This is what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. But I think that everything that we've done for the past couple of months has been practice with the social distancing and thinking about, for health, taking in more vitamin D, doing exercise, keeping 6 feet at least away from people, washing your hands and everything. I think this has all been practice. And now that they're letting stuff up, they're planning on going, oh, let's just get back to normal and just ignore the people that are going to die, kind of a deal. This is the time that you need to take all that stuff that we've been practicing for 2 months. This is when we need to we need to keep going with it. And this is when it really matters. Like before, we were keeping away from people, so it was kind of easy. It was psychologically, it was a battle, but now we have to actually keep doing it, and we have to watch out for ourselves, because obviously the leaders that are in charge are not, you know, we can't rely on them. We can't rely on businesses to put in, to make things safe for us, because they don't have any guidance. There's no national guidelines. There are people are like going, how about just one person per haircut? Isn't it always like that? You know, this is the kind of shit that's coming from the top. So people are going to have to figure it out themselves. And there have always been guidelines for safety and stuff. And being a dishwasher in a restaurant, I can tell you that all the guidelines that they have in place are all, or actually there's so many of them to try to, you know, for safety, that it's actually impossible to, you know, to run a restaurant following every single guideline to the T. So things are kind of bent. And it's a wide range of who's following what guidelines. You know, I mean, they get the big ones, but like, it's, you know, the water has to be at a certain temperature. We can't afford a new water heater. We're going to wing it. That kind of shit. So it's going to be the same thing for this. Just realize that you're going to have to really do your homework and figure out, you know, who's taking after your best interest and all that shit. But the thing for me is, you know, we've had this in practice, and I'm only speaking for myself because I don't know what you're going to do, but this is what I'm going to do, is I'm just going to have to take everything that we've been doing, you know, watch out for me and the people that I love. But in the same way that soldiers who have been in the Middle East and on patrol and stuff have had to, you know, knowing that at any time something could happen, but they follow all their training and they just get through the day and just kind of realize that, hey, if something happens, you know, if an IED blows me up or whatever, it's going to blow me up. You know, if it's that kind of mentality where you just look, I just got to get to the day. If something happens, it's going to happen. But I've just got to, I can't distract myself with fearing everything. I've got to get through. We got to do the same kind of shit. You know, you can't let fear cripple you and imprison you. You can't be imprisoned by your fear. You have to get, live your life. But that doesn't mean just saying fuck it. You know, and I have no idea what's going to happen with you guys in bars, because there's no way to with social distancing and drinking, especially when you guys get drunk. Can you imagine people going to actually staying at least 6 feet away from each other wasted? There's no fucking way. I have no idea what you guys are going to do. Thank God I quit drinking at the right time. Holy shit, I could not imagine. Much as I was addicted to bars, I could not imagine. Oh, I would be goddamn miserable. Hey, no offense. And I said to all you guys, sorry. But anyway, we gotta, you know, be vigilant, you guys. Definitely go outside. You know, stay away from these assholes. Watch out for assholes. There's a lot out there. You know what? And don't be nice. You don't have to be nice. You don't have to be rude. But you don't have to be nice. Don't take any shit from these fucking guys who think they know shit, because you know they don't. None of us do. But you got to be careful. And hang in there, you guys. That's the weird thing. We're all going through it. It's crazy. We're all going through this stuff. So I know you've got, it's unsettling. It's that underlying feeling of dread, but you've also got some optimism, you know, especially when you distract yourself and see videos of people helping people out. Like, there's good people and there's bad people. So keep in touch with people that you care about and that make you feel good, all that. So stay sober if you're staying, you know, if you're a sober person, I hope you stay sober. If you're not a sober person, I hope you're staying sane. But thank you guys for joining me this week. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Rabin. You guys hang in there, and I'll see you next week. Later.
Back down to earth.